Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 130 of Game Store Profits, the podcast where a bunch of guys get together to talk about games, about God, and about how these things not only come together, but actually come together beautifully. And I'm here with my co-hosts. Let's start with Mr. Jeff Romo.
Hello, hello.
What was that? And we will move on from whatever that was.
I gotta practice my radio entries, you know, yeah. Just doing different things. Something different.
Sounded like Mr. Burns. Ahoy, ahoy. We're gonna go to Mr. Daniel Fisher as well. How you doing,
Howdy,
Daniel?
Y'all.
Ugh, you've never been more Tennessee than in that moment right there.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, gentlemen, I am fresh off of, well, I can definitely say kind of fresh because it's happened a while ago. It's just how recording schedules work. But TavernCon is behind me, and I'm happy because it's behind me.
Well, I know sometimes when people say there's something behind them, you know, I'm thinking Hitchcock or something like that. You know, the birds are descending, but this sounds like a positive experience.
Seeing as literally the moment TavernCon was over, I automatically started planning for next events like Extra Life and potentially going to Save Against Fear and doing TavernCon again next year. Like, I started planning that immediately. You're not wrong.
Do you have an empty place in your heart right now?
An empty place? No, it's filled with board games and cardboard.
Okay. It's like when you get to like the season finale of your favorite show and you're thinking, dang, I've got to wait all summer until the next episode. It's crazy.
Anymore, if I'm watching TV, it's Netflix, so I don't feel that pain. Though, I can't entirely say that because I've now finished Voltron Legendary Defender, and season two has not yet arrived, and that hurts
my
me.
My brain is, like, freaking exploding on that series.
My inner 12-year-old is so happy.
See, that's the show. That's the show that, like, when I said I went back to view the old Voltron, I was like, that's the feeling I had when I watched it when I was a kid, and that was the feeling I expected when I went back to watch it, and that was not the feeling that I got until I watched this new one. So I'm really thankful they brought it out.
It didn't hook me.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious, man. I watched one episode of it. I was like, this is okay, but I haven't felt the desire to go back and finish it.
Okay.
Can you feel me force choking you right now? Can you feel it?
No. Listen. Folks of the internet, regulars, and people just stumbling on our podcast, I'm going to be looking for some new co-hosts. Because Daniel just said Voltron is eh. And who, what was it, Mr. Romo, earlier today when I referenced a new Neil Gaiman book about Norse mythology and you said, I'm not really a fan?
You know what? Neil Gaiman did write one of my favorite books.
But I said I'd be willing to try it out because I love Norse mythology.
I'm gonna leave it right there because like episode 3 of this podcast was me talking about how Neil Gaiman was one of my geek heroes and is literally my favorite author like of all time. So I'm just gonna leave it there lest we bring up those wounds.
So the rest of this episode is basically us all force choking each other through the internet until we all pass out, and then that's the end of the episode.
I think that's a wrap. I think we're good. What else does one need?
I need to find out what the yellow goo was in the last episode of Voltron. So if anybody out there knows, message me.
We are not becoming a Voltron fan cast as much as I could. And if anybody wants me to be on something like that, y'all just call me. But so, gentlemen, we actually have, you know, we're kind of, you know, different for us. Normally we kind of just completely wing it, and today we actually kind of have at least a vague topic. But before we get into that, what if anything have you guys been playing lately?
Good Lord. Can I go?
I guess that means Daniel's going next.
Okay, all right. So of course we had free RPG day in between the time that we last spoke, and I got to play some East Texas University from Savage Worlds. It was wonderful. My friend Wes, who is in the tavern, ran the campaign for us. And actually, the main villain in that campaign is actually named after him, and he helped create that campaign because he gave a ridiculous amount of money on the Kickstarter for East Texas University. So, but I did that. But I had a game day on Saturday with our preteens at church, and ended up our head pastor was there and our youth pastor was there, and the kids went insane. I had 5 games running at once.
I know you sent me one video of a bunch of young children just screaming. I couldn't tell exactly what game you were playing, but I'm guessing it was some kind of social deduction game.
Yes.
Because all the kids were pointing at this one kid. They're all just screaming. I'm like, oh, that poor guy.
Yeah. So they were playing...
Oh, we were just practicing social engineering, Mike. That's all.
Yeah.
No big deal.
So they were practicing or playing One Night Ultimate Werewolf.
Okay.
So...
that would cause that kind of screaming.
Yes.
So yeah, and social engineering. Got it.
So what we had was these children, literally, you know, the game lasts maybe like 5 minutes at the most.
Right.
We played it for 2 hours straight.
Nice.
I mean,
or just several rounds consecutively?
Well, consecutively. What happened was, you know, we started with like 6 kids playing, and we had a group playing, you know, a board game over here and another board game over here. Well, one group would just come over to the kids because the kids were so loud, and they'd just start playing with the kids. And my daughter is like one of the best players at this game when she's playing with her peers because she has this wonderful ability to lie to people. And so she she's perfect at this because she knows how to raise a crowd. So, you know, she would say, well,
what do you mean, like raise a crowd, like as in, hey, Frankenstein's monster is up on the hill. Let's grab some forks and torches.
Yes.
Wow.
So like
that's amazing.
So like where she's sitting there and like, you know, she could be a werewolf and they're like, well, I think Isabel's a werewolf. And she's like, no, I think Alex is a werewolf. And she'd start going, Alex, Alex, and beating her hand on the table. Then all the other kids would just join in, you know, and then I'm like, does everybody vote for Alex? And they're like, yeah. And then we find out he's not the werewolf. My daughter was the werewolf the entire time. And
that flashes back to my time in elementary school when everybody pointed at me after I, you know.
Farted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to say it. My mom hates that word. But sorry, yeah, we had a great time. You know,
Hold on. Press pause. I want to rewind a little bit and talk a little about East Texas University for Savage Worlds.
All right,
is that?
Okay, so East Texas University is a module for Savage Worlds. And imagine Buffy the Vampire Slayer went to school in East Texas, and she wasn't a slayer. She was just a normal student, and you have all these students having to figure out all this paranormal crap and Scooby-Doo their way through school and still keep their grades up, because you actually get experience for keeping your grades up. Yeah, so it was fairly interesting, because one, I kind of, you know, I love Savage Worlds to begin with, and you know, I like Buffy. So, playing this pre-gen, I grabbed a character and it was called the Outsider. And, I was a Chinese person that, and I'm not, you know, this is just the way it was laid out, that was pulled in from China as a small child, knew Kung Fu, and still had ties to the underworld in China, but raised as a devout Christian and in East Texas. And I played that stereotypical character very well. So, but it was fun. We had to figure out what was causing, it was called Shock Jock, and we had to figure out how this radio guy was going into a trance every time, and he was telling people to do stuff and they were doing it. So we had to deduce what was going on.
He was actually practicing mesmerism through the radio waves?
Well, it turned out to be that somebody else was summoning a demon and that demon was possessing him, but, you know.
Wow, spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's okay. It's on the internet. It's free.
Right, it's already out there. It's free. All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. But, thank you. And I was really curious about that when you posted it before.
And I plan on running some one-shots for East Texas University through Fantasy Grounds, if anybody would care to join me.
There you go. Those things scheduled. Put a schedule together and then get a roster out there.
I will.
I will definitely say that took a little bit to break the ice and pick up steam. But after a while, people started really, really jiving with the summer of one shots.
Yeah.
So like anything new, there was that a long hesitation of people like, I don't know, maybe. But then we got a couple of our, you know, I hate to use the term because it's also what we call everybody else, but we got a couple of our regulars, and then before long, people were fighting for positions.
Yeah, I had Daniel called it like the same day that I made the conclusion that I'm going to need to open up a second D&D round.
Yeah.
Or one shot, so.
Well, a lot of people want to try out 5th edition. They haven't got to play it yet.
Yeah, I have to keep that in mind. That's, you know, it's not always out there and available for folks. So, yeah. And that's exactly why we're doing it. So, yeah, lots of fun. Well, I guess for me, it's really been about planning the one shots, like putting together a few tidbits of information and stuff. So I'll be able to release that. Got a video out there for Dungeon World so that the group who's playing it is going to be a little bit more prepared. Plus, for folks out there who just want to know a little bit more about the system, that I think I'm as fanatical about it now as Daniel Fisher is about Savage Worlds. Although I really love Savage Worlds as well. I've had a chance to, like, you know, listen to you describe it, Daniel. I've heard a couple of webcasts of them playing it, and I really love the system too. But yeah, D-Dubs is my baby right now. So I was able to actually organize some of the players or the players there. They have already started making characters. 3 out of 4 are already out there, and the fourth one knows who they are. Dr. Loom. In any case, it's been really going fantastically well. I'm looking forward to getting the regulars around the table, even if it's a virtual one. So that's been my thing.
Well, I can say that I haven't done a lot of playing recently. I did play some Sushi Go. It was fun. I got to play Sushi Go just around the dinner table with my wife and one of our friends. And it continues to prove to be a wonderful little game. I am curious to see, they just released Sushi Go Party, and Sushi Go Party has a couple more options for cards, and it's just a bigger game. You can play up to 8 people. I don't know if I'll end up picking it up because I already have Sushi Go, and I don't, if I have 8 people at the table, I'm probably going to try and put something like Cash and Guns out there.
Or even divide them up into pairs. We've done it before with Sushi Go where you play as a couple. And then you have the Lazy Susan spinning things around so that the decks pass smoothly.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ways to do it. I don't know if, because I have it, I would do that. But if I didn't have it, I would totally get Party because it really looks interesting because you're not always playing with the same cards.
Oh, you so actually that's get, shifting up as well.
Yeah, you actually get to choose which types of cards you're playing with, apparently. And I think that's interesting.
Is it out of the same deck, or is there like multiple decks?
No, it's the same deck. You just, before the game starts, you choose which cards you want to put in there.
Okay.
I didn't play Party, though, because I don't have it. But, I continue to say that Sushi Go is a good game because it's not completely language independent, but it's mostly. And it's simple, and it really is. It's my go-to drafting game because it explains what a drafting game is very well.
You know, I never even thought about it that way. I mean, yeah, definitely for the language barrier and that sort of stuff, it's a perfect game for that. But I had never even thought about that. Yeah, as a drafting game, it's a great entry level to kind of get you into the larger world of that game type.
Some people will talk to you about Seven Wonders. Right. As like the go-to drafting gateway game. I think there's too much going on with Seven Wonders for it to really be that kind of gateway.
Yeah, so, there's like about 3 or 4 things you're having to keep track of.
Yeah, Sushi Go is literally like, is this going to get me points? Yes. Yeah. Is this not going to keep them from getting points? Yes.
Yeah. Seven Wonders. I'm not even going to that one again.
Oh, no. Here you go.
I gave you grief last time, but Seven Wonders, I enjoy Seven Wonders, but I'm nearly.
I enjoy Sushi Go.
Yeah, you know, you guys can also jump on me because I do enjoy Munchkin still. So
I love Munchkin.
There we go.
You guys can enjoy Munchkin. So, I will say that there's been some cool little pickups in here at Inroads headquarters. Jason Tagmeyer, who is a friend of the ministry,
Jason Tagmeyer?
I did not. Jason is, he put out a thing on Twitter a while ago saying, hey, we do the Board Game of the Month Club, and we kind of want people out there talking about it. So if you blog or you podcast and you want to talk about Board Game of the Month, I'll send you one. And I happen to go, well, I happen to write articles and run a podcast. So you want to send me one? And he said, yes. I actually got it in the mail today. Or not today, but a couple days ago. And I'm going to do a full write-up, which will be out there by the time this goes live. So probably when I end up posting this episode, I'll just put the link to that in the show notes. I'll do a full write-up about what I got and why I think this service is pretty cool. And for $10, man, there's a lot of cool stuff in here. Like, I basically got two games, a comic, and a couple promo cards for some of his other games for $10. And these games are, they're cool because they're unique and they're definitely pocket games. Like, they're even more pocket game than his other pocket games. But, like, the one game is called, and I just love saying this, it's based off of Willy Wonka and stuff. It's called Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
And you are literally playing with candy. People make you eat candy. Like, literal candy.
Like, you have to buy candy as
like, you have to buy candy component. As the components of this game.
I'm down. I love candy. Ooh.
And
you can make it, like, really, like, OP by, like, adding in Brock's candy.
Well, the way it is you basically have to have candy that is somehow distinguishable from other candy.
Oh, that's distinguishable, all right.
And so you can get either, like, brands, like individual, like, fun-size Butterfingers, Snickers, all that stuff. Or you can just get, you know, grandma candy that all comes in different colors.
Oh, grandma.
And so you hide what candy you have, and you start, like, doing stuff like, it's kind of like deduction meets like Go Fish from what I've seen on it. I haven't played it yet, but you're basically like saying, you know, give me all your blue candy or all your Snickers. There's one that's like two colors. Ask if they have any candies of either of two colors. If they do, they eat one of their choice from those two colors. So you're trying to get the other players to eat their candy. The last person with candy still remaining wins. I mean, it's a quick little game, and the whole time you're eating candy, but I could see this going over huge, especially with our demographic. We're talking about a lot of guys who want to, like, find a quick little game to play with, like, youth group kids. I could see...
Oh, I thought you were talking about our demographic and that we like to eat candy.
That is true. That is also true. I was talking about more of a broader demographic, not just us. and the other game that came in the package was called Poco Piñata. And this game fascinates me because you're putting out these cards that are little piñatas on the board, and you are taking, they say tokens, but it can be anything, but they recommend coins of some sort, because you are literally blindfolded, spun around like you're about to hit a piñata, and your goal is to try and smack your coin or token on one of these piñata cards. But while you're blindfolded, one of the other players moves the card. And so you're sitting there trying to remember where on the table the card was and hoping it's still there.
Sounds like Saturday night's going to be good for fighting.
Oh my goodness. And again, this was $10 and it got sent to me. I will definitely be saying, here's the short version. I will definitely be saying that this is a keeper. Like, this service, if you don't have a lot of games and you're looking to real quick build up a lot of small, like, stuff you can put in your pocket, because you're not going to get, like, a Blood Rage in a $10 a month game thing. You're going to be getting small games. Like, the one is on, you know, postcard-sized cardboard, and the other is literally just in a large sleeve, a large card sleeve. The whole game fits in it. But if you're looking to just get a bunch of different experiences for not a lot of money, this is a solid service. I'm not just saying that because I like Jason and he sends me things. it's a really interesting service. It's really cool. I can also say something that isn't part of that, but also came in the same envelope that Jason sent me. I haven't been able to play it yet. I was upset about this. Maybe I can squeeze in one game and future Mike might be able to talk about this.
Sorry about that. Future Mike here, and yeah, I didn't get to play it either. It is a really fun game, as Past Me is going to explain, but I haven't had a chance to actually get it to the table yet because of holiday shenanigans and the like. However, I will expand on something that Past Mike missed. That's the fact that Jason did technically send me the $10 one, But if you read the write-up, I actually realized that because he sent me an extra wallet game that comes for free, that's actually at a separate level, a $20 game level. So there's several different levels, from $1, which gets you just not that much at all, up to $20 a month, which gets you a whole bunch of stuff. Basically gets you a free Button Shy game every month, and you actually get to pick what game from their library you get. So I'll direct you guys to that. Again, I will put that in the show notes. Check that out, because I do think that it, you know, even as I've got to look at it more, I really think this service is of value. It's not going to be for everybody, but holy cow, I think there's a lot of potential value there if you're looking to expand your library. That said, let's get back to these guys. Future Mike out. But Jason sent me a copy of a Daniel Solis game that he is just kickstarting next week. Like, the Kickstarter hasn't even gone live on this one yet. It's called Pod X, and it's a wallet game where all the players are basically trying to race to get to the last escape pod in a spaceship that's going down. And you're all racing to see who can be the one to get to the last escape pod. I'm going to leave it there because I haven't played it. I've only read through the rules. I haven't even begun to see how this goes. But just the artwork and the way it looks, and Daniel Solis makes great games. He's responsible for some really quality stuff. So I'm going to tell you that that Kickstarter will be going up. By the time this goes live, it will be going up, I think, a couple days later from when this goes live. But you can definitely be watching our Facebook, if not when I post this episode, and I'll post a link to that. Hopefully, before too much longer, I'll be able to really tell you what Pod X is about and let you know about that. But that also was in the mail. And so that's a lot of fun. I'm super excited to see what this game has and hopefully get a bunch of you guys to go to the Kickstarter, because one cool thing about Button Shy, above and beyond the fact that they make cool games, is that their most expensive games are like $8. So it's real easy to jump on that when they have a good one.
And it's really easy to all of a sudden have a mountain full of games.
Especially because normally, obviously this one hasn't gone live yet, but normally when they do a Kickstarter, they provide the ability as add-ons to the Kickstarter to get other games from their library. Right. And I could give you recommendations if you decide to go that route. I could definitely give you recommendations, you know, just off the top of my head, Superplex, which I believe I hope they would add on to it. It's their last Kickstarter. If that's available, you need to pick that one up. North, South, East Quest is a favorite, and Cunning Folk. But that's just some of them. They've got a bunch more.
Variety 'tis the spice of life, laddie.
Hey, these are the guys that created Silent But Deadly. I'm over here looking on their website, and I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute. I want to play this. I want to do this while you're talking about them.
Button Shy has some good stuff, man. Look, just because Jason is, you know, Jersey strong like me, and just because of the fact he came to TavernCon last year, I wouldn't just put him out there as a cool guy you should follow. I'm also going to do that because he makes good stuff, and he finds people that make good stuff.
This is completely different than the times that, you know, we were trying to shill Blurg, the new soft drink from Tallahassee. I mean, it's completely different.
I don't even know what you just meant. Let's move on to other things.
Deep breath. Let's move.
Okay, let's actually talk about the topic that we were going to talk about today.
We're going to jump in after that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I really think this could be a cool one. We were kind of talking in light of the fact that, you know, most of us listen to a bunch of these podcasts that are out there in the world. And some of the big ones, you know, a couple of them have hit some really cool stuff lately. One of them being our friends at Saving the Game, who had a killer last episode with Chris Oady. And at first I was like, man, you know, I just spent an hour and change talking to Chris about the movie that they're working on. You know, let's see what these guys have to add. And oh my goodness, true to form, man, those guys brought up a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't even think to ask about. And
that episode. I will put that in the show notes as well, because you should listen to that if you haven't by now. And on top of that, the guys at Fear the Boot, which is probably one of, if not the best, in my opinion, role-playing game specific podcasts out there. It's funny I can say that, because the guys at Saving the Game literally became the guys at Saving the Game because of Fear the Boot. And Fear the Boot did an episode recently about gaming and mental health. And that episode I will also put a link to, because that was also a really powerful episode. I think they're doing a part two on that one. And that one will also probably be worth listening to. But, you know, I'm going to just put that out there. Though I will give the caveat to those of you who are listening who are not fans of naughty language. Fear the Boot, tread lightly. But anyway, because of all these folks doing that, and the fact that I got to hang out at TavernCon with Jack and Jen from the Bodana Group, who do a lot of really cool things with board games and role-playing games as both personal development and in therapeutic kind of situations. But they were just killing it playing No Thank You Evil. I had such a fun just watching them play No Thank You Evil, as well as watching the both of them play Flick 'Em Up, which was also fun in a completely different way. But I wanted to just put it out there, because I know that it's been huge for me, and I've shared it in previous episodes, even episodes before either of you guys were on the podcast, about some of how gaming has kind of helped me develop. But I just want to throw it out there. Like, is there something either in your past or even stuff that you're currently dealing with that gaming either has helped you move through that, or the gaming community has helped you move through that, or something like that? How is, like, because we've always said gaming and the community that's built around the table is an awesome place. I mean, Jeff, one of your earliest articles for the site was about just what people bring to the table. So I kind of want to put our money where our mouths are at that point and just say, just spend some time here on the podcast, just putting out, like, how has gaming been there for us to kind of help us through stuff like that?
Well, you know, mine's probably going to be the lightest weight version of how this has helped. But from my personal experience, I mean, there was a time when, you know, I'm in high school and, oh, no, this is right after high school. I'm too old. I can't remember these things back in the day. It all muddies together. But there was, you know, you fall in love for the first time ever, and it's going great for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, and then all of a sudden it just breaks off, and, you know, I'm a mess. And the first person I go to is one of the folks on my gaming group, you know, because we're all best friends anyway. And go over to his house, you know, it's 12:30 at night. And, you know, he's, hey, come on in. And, you know, he's taking me downstairs and says, hey, let's call the guys. And so they get the guys over. And by the time everybody arrives, it's 1:30. And, you know, rather than like sitting around and boohooing, they say, hey, let's play some Shadowrun. And so we ended up playing Shadowrun until like 10 in the morning, and then slept most of the day. And then we started the game again at 6 that following night. And, you know, it was like, you know, there's a certain catharsis, and obviously, in being able to get your emotional, the high range emotions out via the vehicle of, you know, driving a car fast in a makeup sci-fi world and shooting guns out the window and stuff like that, which is not recommended in the real world whatsoever. But it was a certain, like I said, catharsis to that emotional pit that I was in that kind of brought me out of that, and it was great to be there with friends and, you know, who I consider brothers to this day still, that, you know, we still are blessed with the ability to game ever so often. This is the group I mentioned that we game, like, this, we've playing the same Pathfinder campaign for the last, like, I want to say 7 years, and we get together about every month to 3 months to play a session. So it's been going a while, but yeah, it's being able to have that comfort of going back to that table and being able to express myself as who I am, and you know, whatever mood I might be in, there's a level of acceptance that I can't really find anywhere else. So that's my thing.
Well, Daniel, how about you? Do you have any kind of stories that you want to share, stuff that you've been dealing with through gaming and stuff like that?
Well, you know, growing up and stuff, you know, I always use gaming as a crutch whenever, you know, I'd go through the breakups relationships in high school, and I'd always just fall back on my guys at the comic shops and things like that. But, you know, it kind of helped me fit in, a lot more. It kind of helped me find an identity growing up. I was one of these guys that tried to fit into everything, but it really got me to specialize in one thing because it struck my interest so much. It helped me out a lot that way. But, here recently, in the last 2 years, as some people know, in one summer, I lost my best friend of 20 years. And then right after that, I lost my dad. And I went into a major tailspin of depression, you know, and gaming there helped me because it provided me a place to go when I needed somewhere to go. It gave me the that time away that I needed to reflect on myself and things like that and reflect on the world around me. So it helped out a lot for that.
I can definitely appreciate that. And it has a lot to do with my own stuff going on, in this particular area. I will say that, you know, just that part where you said that it gave you a place to fit in. I will say that in all likelihood, gaming saved my life. In part. It's not, I can't like say that, you know, the gaming group, you know, stopped me from doing something stupid or, you know, saved my life. But really just the idea and the stuff that I came to through the process of gaming really helped me to get through some of the roughest spots in my existence to be able to be where I am now. I will say, well, like I said, I've dealt with this on other episodes of the podcast, but most of those have been so long ago now that I do think that I can bring it up again. I hope that you guys who have been here since the early days, who heard those old podcasts will bear with me a little bit as I do a little reminiscing. But, you know, if you're listening for the first time and you're like, you only hear me be my general happy-go-lucky self, who is normally the rambunctious crazy one other than days when I'm super exhausted and tired. This, this might be a chance, well, I hope anyway, that if you're listening and dealing with some of this stuff too, that you might know that there's somebody else out there going through it with you. When I was a kid, I was painfully shy. It's usually shocking to people now because I have grown up into an adult who has precious little shame and loves nothing more than meeting new people. But when I was a kid, I would literally hide behind my father and start crying if I had to meet new people. And it didn't necessarily get better as I got older. You can only pull the, you know, hiding behind dad for so long. And when I started to go into middle school and high school, I would say that my shy awkwardness blossomed into a raging depression, to the point where I have been checked as to whether or not I have clinical depression. The answer to that is I do not. So, it has everything to do with what I go through at the time. But whereas a bunch of people will go through rough parts of their existence and will bounce back, I don't bounce. If it takes a lot anymore, when I was a kid, I was a lot closer to the surface, but anymore, I'm a lot better at being able to kind of endure my own kind of mental junk. But there are still times where I basically will shut down. It has a lot to do with how I saw life when I was a kid. If you've heard me either on interviews or on this podcast talk about my own testimony, you'll know that a lot of how I came to faith, how I met Christ and realized that there's something beautiful
about Christianity and the fact that Christ offered me redemption was the fact that I couldn't believe that a God would ever care about me until I met him. So the way that gaming ties into that is the fact that for the vast majority of my existence, I felt completely without a home. I felt completely without a place to feel completely accepted and completely just welcomed. Now, granted, I want to be very clear. I had an absolutely blessed home life. And over the years and hearing some other people's stories about their home life, I realized just how blessed I was with the family that I have. But at the same point, a lot of my family are very good at certain things. I wasn't. They didn't necessarily care about certain things. I did. So it seemed like even though I felt really loved as a kid, I didn't feel normal. And as much as I hate that word, when you're, preteen, that's all you want to be.
that's the big goal.
Yeah, that's the, at least in my experience working with youth, when you're a preteen, that's kind of what you really want to be, is some degree of normal. Even if your normal is bizarre and ridiculous, you want to meet normal. And I never did. I never felt normal. And it wasn't until a guy introduced me to D&D and board games and stuff like that, that I felt normal. I felt like the things that I liked were valid. Not only were they valid, they could be beautiful. And I realized that there were a lot of really cool things out in the world that people just weren't talking about, at least back then. Now with, podcasts and I could give you 15 different places to go on the internet to find awesome things about board games. But I grew up pre-internet. And so in the age before the internet,
there was a day when that was the case.
you couldn't connect with people like that. Like we joked in the past episodes, and I'll continue to, because it still boggles my mind. Like, I love the fact that Jeff, before we started recording, was saying, yeah, I'm going to run a one shot for the German guys. And that doesn't mean a couple guys, down the street who were originally from Germany. He's talking about literally getting on the internet and running a D&D game for three guys who live in Germany. Like that, it's still crazy, but
boggles the mind.
But, when I was a kid, that didn't exist. And so you only had the people you hung out with. And I grew up in the most white bread of white bread neighborhoods. And I joke that the neighborhood I grew up in is Mayberry RFD if the yuppies took over. And so that was my neighborhood. And here I was, the little dude wearing dragon t-shirts and talking about his cleric. And it didn't go well. And so I read The Hobbit three times before eighth grade. Like I did stuff like that. I was the dude who had glasses that was so thick that, they were barely glasses. They were just hunks of plastic I wore on my face. And to say that I struggled with self-worth would be an understatement. And that hasn't gone away. It was crazy because a buddy of mine who just moved to New Jersey actually, texted me this past weekend and said, hey, I'm using you as an illustration. And that's not the first time that's happened. And I said, well, what was it that I did? And he talked about back in our seminary days when I was neck deep in just some of the darkest times in my existence. And he was trying to cheer me up with scripture verses and trying to pull me out and say that God had me. And I looked at him and I said, I know every one of those verses. You can't throw scripture at this and make it go away. Just because I know God loves me doesn't mean that I'm not still in the midst of the biggest dark pit right now. I know it will be okay, but it's not right now. And I still find myself in that place. And in fact, to be completely honest and blunt, I've been in that place very recently. Very recently. In the fact that y'all would have heard my voice and seen me on videos, and I've been in that place. So part of the reason that I posed this to you guys and to put this on this podcast is because this whole ministry and really I'll even kind of bring it down from just inroads to me. Because so much of my existence has been trying to talk to people and to connect with people who feel disenfranchised, who feel like they don't fit anywhere. Because I didn't. And to a degree, I still don't. And I'm putting it out here, and I'm, you know, you guys can feel free to react here right now. But I want everybody listening to know that if you are feeling this way, whether it is due to a struggle with mental illness, which, by the way, as the husband of a woman who deals with mental illness, I will tell you that it's not your identity. It's not who you are. It's what you deal with. Because a lot of people will tell you you can't do things because you're dealing with that. And that's garbage. And I want to put that out there first. My wife isn't bipolar. She deals with bipolar. For those of you who are like me, that it's not a chemical thing, it's not a mental health issue so much as it just is, you don't necessarily always have the tools. I want to tell you that not only is it, I don't want to say it's okay, because it's not, but you're not somehow a lesser version of a person. You're not even a lesser version of a Christian if you deal with this. There's a reason why. There's a gentleman who just an amazing theologian and a crazy good speaker, Spurgeon. If you don't know Spurgeon, look him up. I have several collections of his speeches and his letters. And the reason I first looked him up is because that man suffered through some crippling depression. He is a very well-known, very well-respected theologian who dealt with crippling depression because he knew that no matter what he did, he could not be who he wanted to be before God. And if he can be in that place and still be respected and still be accepted, I want you to know that you are too. And I want you to know that if you are dealing with this, regardless of its source, if you are dealing with pain and with hurt that you don't bring up to people, I want you to know that you're okay. And I want you to know that you're not alone. And I want you to know that we will get through this. And I want to say that because even if there's one person who listens to this episode and needed to hear that, you know, I like I said earlier, I have precious little shame these days. I have no problem putting all my dirt on the street if it helps one person be okay. Because I was a teenager who sat at the top of the stairs with a pocket knife in one hand and some really, really dark thoughts in the other, and chose to put the knife away. And if you find yourself there, I want you to know it's okay. that there are other people there. And that there are other people that care about you and love you. Because gaming is a place where you will always find somebody who will be with you on this. You will always find somebody, even if, you know, you've had some bad experiences, there will always be at least one table, one place, one group of friends who will always be there. And, you know, I don't always get, I occasionally get sort of sappy when I talk about the regulars being, you know, I joke about you guys being the best group of geeks on the internet. I joke about, you know, just the way we exist and just the stupid little in jokes and stuff like that. I said on the last podcast that I pray for the tavern all the time, and I do. And I don't always get super sappy, but if you'll allow me, I love you guys. And I don't just say that looking into a microphone. I really do. And there is not one day that goes by where I get to do this and I don't thank God that I get to do it, because you guys send me emails all the time. You guys send me emails thanking me for what I do. And as a guy who constantly thinks he's not doing anything, and a guy who constantly deals with the voice in his head that says he is valueless and without worth, you guys remind me all the time that that's not true. And I wanted to put that out on the street. And if you are out there struggling right now, I really do want you to get in touch with me. On the Facebook group, you can message me, you can hit me up on Twitter, you can email me. I don't care how you do it. Because as more and more stuff just hits news feeds and stuff like that, the world is pretty jacked up without us. And I want to live in a place that doesn't have to deal with any more pain. And so, yeah, if you're dealing with that, I will always be available to talk, or I will make myself available to talk, because this, whether it's the gaming table or the church or just a bunch of guys talking on the internet, at least this corner of the internet, I can't speak for all of the internet, but this corner of the internet. I want you to know that you're going to be okay. Yeah, you're not alone, and that somebody cares. Do y'all have anything? I mean, like I said, I'm the one who brought up this topic, and I did want to just put that out there, but I don't know if y'all have anything. I kind of just took that. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know that. I've never had to deal with it long term, you know, like with depression and stuff, but, you know, there's people out there, and you know, my wife deals with it as well, and, you know, it can get frustrating at times, but, you know, I'm there for anybody that needs prayer too, for this, you know, because that's what God put us here for, is to take care of each other, and, you know, I'm there for support and prayer if anybody needs me as well. So,
yeah, goes for me too. This is something that we do. So if there's things out there that are seeming a little bit larger than life, we're definitely happy to bring that back down to a more manageable level, because you don't want to tackle these things on your own. And I'll discuss it kind of from my perspective, which is, my mom is going through it, pretty severe depression. She has been for at least, I want to say 14 years, where it's been more prevalent. And sometimes it's hard for somebody on the outside of that situation or that's not dealing with that particular emotional pitfall. And I use that word in every sense of it being, you know, not hyperbole or anything. It's hard to grasp it, to grasp what those feelings mean and what it truly can impact a person or how it can impact a person's life. But having been involved with, you know, with my mom and, you know, dealing with that emotion and trying to be that kind of bulwark against the darker emotions, it's really so important to have somebody to listen and to not judge and not to say, oh, well, I can't believe this person's going through this again, that sort of stuff. If there's folks out there that are telling you that, that's not the response that you're obviously that you're looking for, but it's also not the right response. There needs to be somebody who's willing to listen. There needs to be somebody who's willing to empathize, even if they can't fully comprehend it. They need to empathize, and that's what we're called to do in this faith, is to understand that, you know, whatever you're going through, other people may not be going through the exact same thing, but they're just as broken as you are. We're all broken, but it's banding together and loving on one another and understanding one another, even if, again, we don't reach full comprehension, but understanding that, you know what, I don't go through that thing that this person goes through, but you know what, I can understand because I go through my stuff too. And don't let it be something that isolates you. Isolation is the worst dead end street that you can go towards. You need to come back out of that and talk with somebody, you know, whether it's Mike, whether it's Daniel, whether it's myself or somebody that's in your sphere of influence, go to them. Don't let yourself be, you know, wrapped up and don't let yourself dwell in those thoughts in that place. Break out of that. And I know it sounds so trite to say something like that, to say, just break out of it. And that is not my intent to say it that way. What I'm saying is just that is the goal. You have to break out of it and get to somebody to talk to that can listen. And, you know, and that's what we're here for. That's what we do. You know, that's what, you know, the folks at Saving the Game are doing. That's what, you know, like Mike mentioned, the folks at Fear the Boot are bringing this to the forefront. But, you know, definitely speaking for me, Mike and Daniel, and we definitely want to be there for you guys if you need to talk. You need somebody to listen.
Yeah. The guys from Saving the Game, when they were talking to Chris, talked so much about how much hurt the church has done to gamers in the gaming community. And how we as a people have not done anything to fix that. As a church people, we have not done anything to fix that. We want to stand in that gap. We want to be there to help people work through and address that.
I'll go even further and just say that folks that respond in this way, who claim to be part of the church, are not part of the church. Not in the way that Christ intended. We're intended to be, to understand that we are all fallible, that we are all broken, and we're all in need of love. And it's by you saying that you're better than somebody else or that you know something more than another person because they play games or whatever the case is. That's not what the church, and I'm using it as a big C, is about. That's what the church, little C, is about, if they want to believe that way.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of stuff out there about just I'll just call it what it is. It's ignorance, just about the idea of mental health. There are times when people will look at somebody who is dealing with depression and being like, well, you just need to get up and do something. And then not realizing that those people who are dealing with that want to, they're physically incapable of it.
I've watched my mom go through that, where it's like, she knows that she needs to go to a doctor's appointment or she needs to do something, but she can't physically get up off the couch because of how deep into this pit that she's fallen. And yeah, you can't, sometimes it's so easy. It's so much easier, I should say. It's not easy. It's easier to just tell that person to just get up and then get frustrated when they don't, and then use that as an escape hatch or an escape pod to get out of the situation and say, oh, well, if they don't want to help themselves, then blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to move on. We cannot respond that way. As a people of faith, as a people who dedicate themselves to love and to loving one another, we can't respond that way.
Yeah. So the too long didn't read version is that we get it. Or at least if we don't get it immediately, we want to.
And that's a key. That's a key right there. We want to.
And again, it's fun. My wife is really just a person who will always say that, you know, she hears from God real clear. I don't. I'm more, you know, I do stuff and when I feel like it's going the way it's supposed to, that's how I know God speaks to me. My wife hears from God all the time. And one thing that she says that she's heard a lot lately is that just that idea that you're not alone. She said it to me too, because I've needed to hear it. And oddly enough, recently I've been doing a lot of talking about different preachers and different people talking from behind pulpits. And I said, oddly enough, in a conversation to my wife, I said, you can tell when a preacher is really feeling the Spirit of God because they have taken something that God is speaking to them and is changing them and shares it with the people. The crap sermons are the ones where a guy just gets up from behind the pulpit, picks a Bible verse and says, this is what y'all need to know. I have been on the receiving end of well-meaning but completely impotent scripture quoting.
But what's on the other side of that though, right? You can quote the scripture, but how did that impact you? How does that, for you, not the person you're talking to, right? You can say, this is how it helped me and here, how it helped my emotional state or the problem I was in. That becomes more impactful than just saying, oh, here, read this. This makes all the difference.
Well, and
need that empathy.
And yeah, and that's the big thing is just understanding that, you know, a lot of these things are known. A lot of these things are understood. But when you're in the middle of everything, it becomes very hard to translate understood into action, into feeling. And yeah, we're coming up to the end of the hour and I want to wrap up, but that is just it's my big thing. It's my go-to, not only with inroads, but in my everyday. I want you to know that even when you feel completely outside and you feel like no one can give a crap, and I almost, this is how passionately I almost swore just because I wanted to bring that note home, because I only curse when it's particularly poignant. But, I want you to know that there is definitely somebody who will completely just do nothing but sit with you and listen if that's what you need. Because I'm not here to placate. I'm not here to make it better. I just want you to know that I'm here. And that if nothing else, that, you know, for whatever I can contribute to it, there's somebody that really wants you to be here and wants you to be home.
Well, I don't know how to bring us into a different phase, but I'll say maybe the idea of connection might be a good
transition. Absolutely.
I wholeheartedly agree. And yeah, there are oft the times that I've been thinking about, I've thought about cursing and have unfortunately cursed.
Don't worry, I've edited all those out.
But it's like I said, I think it was last episode or the one before that. It's in situations where, you know, Christians aren't acting like Christians. You know, that's really one of my biggest pet peeves. But We could probably go on another episode about that as well.
And we probably will.
And we probably will. But look, folks, we're embarking upon a momentous anniversary here. For Game Store Profits.
Crazy pants.
And borrowing lightly and heavily and as gingerly as I can from the idea of connection, we would like to connect with you guys out there, our wonderful, beautiful, loving fans. We want to connect you with you guys even more. And we want you guys to celebrate with us how many years is it, Mike? 5 years. Well, we've jumped on the tail end of this wagon train as it was going up.
I've been doing this for 5 years.
But yeah, next episode, and we're going to start plastering this all over the tavern and every single media outlet we can reach. We are going to be doing a live video chat. We're going to run a regular episode of Game Store Profits. We're going to record it. But during that episode, we're going to be opening up a chat through YouTube. So it'll be live. You'll be able to see our beautiful faces. I will shave extra special close with the expectation of viewership. We want you guys to get involved. We're going to be posting links into the tavern to get you guys in there so you can start adding to the chat. So if you wanted to post questions, that sort of stuff on any, you know, game related topic, God related topic, I don't know. What's exactly fair game, Mike? What do you think?
I think that, you know, I think we're pretty much going to throw it out there. I mean, we can't answer every question.
We'll try,
but you know, depends on how many of y'all show up. How many people are in the tavern now? If 300 people in the tavern all show up, then there's going to be questions we don't get to.
But one question each.
But yeah, I think anything is potentially fair game about us, about the ministry, about gaming in general or whatever. I've been doing this for 5 years. Jeff, you've been doing it for pretty much one.
Yeah, we're actually I'm coming up to a year at least in the podcast, more than any year with involvement in Rhodes Plays.
Daniel's the youngster at only about 6 months.
The most professional.
Little baby Daniel.
Gosh.
But,
and doing a fantastic job, by the way.
Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely enough of us out there on the airwaves that people will have something to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. So be looking for that. We're going to, as Mike just said, a great phrase, we're going to be posting like crazy pants out there to get you guys in the know so that you can get involved with this. So it'll be roughly maybe a little bit less than 2 weeks when this episode drops, but you will have probably already started hearing about it on the tavern, beforehand, here in the next few days. So yeah, I'm super excited about this. Almost as excited as I am about the wonderful folks who joined me for my one shots. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I would love to divulge the interestingness that has already arisen from Dungeon World, but I'll leave that as a surprise when we have our little intro video and our outro video.
Spoilers, dude. But,
spoilers, baby. But I'll say that no, I'm not going to say anything. Ha ha! But looking forward to it. We had another date for Dungeon World, so we'll be doing the 16th and the 23rd in September. Or not Dungeon World, I'm sorry, Dungeons and Dragons. And I'll have that one-off for our German friends. Jared Chadwick, how you doing out there? We'll have a one-off of Dungeon World for them, bringing in some more folks there, so we'll hopefully be able to get a time scheduled on that. Other than that, you can find me on the Tavern. Post up, message me if you want to get in touch. Totally open for that. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can find me at GSP Keegan. So GSPKHEEGAN on Twitter. That's my stuff. How can people reach you, Mike?
Oh, let's do Daniel first because I've got a whole boatload of them.
Daniel, go.
Oh, mercy. Okay. So Daniel.L.Fisher@gmail.com is my primary email address. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at DanielLFisher4. And if you're trying to find me on the Facebook, I believe if you just look for my name, usually it'll come up with The Truth About Following Him, all with periods in between it. So that's how you get a hold of me.
And in the tavern.
Yes, in the tavern where I'm always at.
You've been doing an awesome job of greeting people. In fact, I tried to greet somebody, and then you had greeted them at the same time. You were so quick.
I will just say right now, I am so thankful that y'all are able to do that, because I used to try to do it all the time, and I lost track. So the fact that y'all are doing that makes me happy, because I want it to be done. I just didn't have the time.
Guys, I do have to point out something. There are two Daniel Fishers in the tavern.
Yes.
This is your fault. You should have had him change his name.
So you just look for the cool Daniel Fisher with KM4DCL underneath his name. It's just my ham radio
throwing down.
Call sign.
Scandalous.
Just kidding. He knows I love him. We found out that our moms have the same names as well.
Shut up. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, my gosh. See, kids? Serendipity. Right there. Out there in that them there interwebs. It's amazing.
And I'll give a shameless plug. If you want to, like, get a game table, talk to him.
Oh, yeah. He makes gorgeous tables.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And then all my shenanigans. I can't go, you know, all the heartfelt get in touch with me without telling you how to get in touch with me.
Do it, baby.
My email is mike@inroadsministries.com. My Twitter is @inroads. My Instagram is @inroads. You can pretty much find me on Facebook just by looking me up. You can also find me in the tavern and on the Inroads Ministries Facebook page. You can find me in our Board Game Geek Guild, which it's the Inroads Ministries Guild. You can look that up, or you can go to inroadsministries.com and find pretty much links to all of this stuff. You can also find me. I occasionally do, when I'm not showing up as a player on one of our role-playing game videos, I also occasionally will throw up a vlog of this, that, or the other thing. More than likely, you'll see me in my top 10 Games of the Collection video series, which I may or may not do that series ever again, but I'll definitely keep that list going. But I also occasionally will throw up news and other assorted stuff that I want to talk about the ministry and whatever on our YouTube page as well.
Yeah, get connected on that YouTube page, especially now that we'll be doing this live broadcast, because you'll get the notice first on your YouTube connection.
Hopefully we'll be able to, in not the too distant future, be able to wrap up Victoriana, because I will be looking for players to put together this Numenera campaign that I've been cooking up, because Jeff's going to actually sit down for this one and be a player.
Oh my gosh, you have no idea how much I'm looking forward to actually just playing. I love game mastering, don't get me wrong. So kids out there who are joining the one-shots, trust me, I'll put my heart into it. I love it. But I haven't played a game. I was actually, somebody asked me a question on another group, and I was looking out my calendar and looking back, and when was the last time I played a game? And it's been like, I want to say 5 years since I've actually just played.
It's the GM's dilemma, man. Once they find out you're a GM, they want you to run things for them.
And I'm totally happy with it. Totally happy with it. But yeah, it'll be nice.
So yes, I will. when we finish up our Victoriana run, I will be recruiting for a Numenera game, and I'm still waiting to see what characters develop before I really put the finishing touches on some of my plot lines. But I know for a fact that there's at least one moment that's going to make pretty much everybody in the audience go, dang. So I look forward to unleashing that craziness upon you guys.
Good. All right. Well, we went a little long, but I think it was for a very good reason. But this is something that's for everybody out there, and you should know by now that God is a game master, and no matter how yours or mine or anybody else's dice falls, the game plays on.